I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. I'm always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His incredible and real presence in your life. You know, most of us are moving so fast and jumping to conclusions so quickly that we miss out on the countless opportunities to see things from God's perspective and to even see Him moving in our midst. You know, God is best seen in the nooks and crannies of life. You know, He's moving and working in some of the most unlikely places. And maybe you've heard me tell this story before. It's been a while since I've shared it. But many years ago, my hubby battled cancer. And he's a big construction manager guy. He builds these giant buildings, and he's a high kind of task-oriented producer person. So this cancer was really, wow. He just crumbled. He got very weak and sick and had to go through intense radiation, and he was just exhausted. And it really, he was a workaholic up to that point, and that really showed him his mortality. It really, that place is what showed him his, that dependence on God is actually his superpower. And I remember when he came home one day and he dropped his bag, his computer bag or whatever, and he had tears in his eyes, and he said, what are we doing? And I said, what do you mean? And he started to share this story, and I'll just say it real quick before we introduce our guest. But he said he was on the entrance ramp to the highway, and several cars ahead, the car had stopped. And so the cars behind him were honking. They were putting their fist out the window and flipping the bird, if you know what I mean, to this guy that was stopping traffic on this very busy entrance ramp. And he said, you know, obviously I never would have done that, but I would have felt impatient and frustrated because whoever this is at the bottom of the ramp is interfering with my very important, very busy day. But he said, I just didn't feel well enough to have those kinds of reactions. I was just going home to go to bed. So I kind of waited my turn. And when it was time, I pulled up next to this guy to see if he was okay. And he said, and wouldn't you know, and my husband's crying by this point, and he's not a crier, but he said, this was one of my radiation buddies. He said, he's got lung cancer and not very long to live. And he was stopping up traffic because he was having a coughing fit. And he says, what have I been doing? He said, I've missed it completely. He said, I'm going to survive this cancer, but some don't. And he said, to be running so hard, to be missing the people I love the most, missing the moments where God is at work. He goes, I cannot live like I used to anymore. Well, my guest today says this, all acts of kindness, whether received or rejected, are courageous and can change the world. Because at the core, when fueled by gratitude and buttressed by compassion, caring for another human being is powerful. My friend Kay Wills-Wyma joins me today to talk about her new book. And it's a book I actually endorsed, The Peace Project, a 30-day experiment practicing thankfulness, kindness, mercy. We're going to unpack all three of these. And I just want you to imagine how would your day and even your life might change if you were more purposeful about being grateful and kind and merciful. We've got a handful of copies of Kay's book. You're going to love it. She's hilariously funny. So she's got these hysterical moments, but then these deep, deep clarifying moments as well. In The Peace Project, a 30-day experiment. Are you ready for that? In practicing thankfulness, kindness, and mercy, you can text the word book if you want in on the drawing. This one will encourage and inspire you, especially in a world that's so full of cynicism, judgment, and assumptions. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. We're going to get her on in a minute. Quick announcement. You've been hearing me talk about this, but has Faith Radio helped you grow in any way in your faith? We want to know about it. So after the show's over, you can call our faith line, or you can text here, or you can hop on our website after the show, myfaithradio.com, and just share a little testimony. And we may even contact you to interview you, but we just are gathering testimonies right now. Encourages our hearts, and I always think that one testimony begets another. When someone says, wow, God did it for you, He can do it for me too. That's why we want to hear from you. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Kay Wyma is a mom, a blogger, a vodcaster, an author of four books. books in which she's tackled with candor and humor some of the troubling societal issues that impact us all. Kay's writings have led her to appearances on Today and CNN and Hallmark's Home and Family and more. Before staying at home with her kids, listen to this. She held positions at the White House and Bank of America. She lives in Dallas, Texas with her husband and five kids, and she's wonderful. Kay, welcome back to the show.
Susie, thanks so much for having me. Gosh, and just getting to listen to your story. Wow, so powerful.
Yeah, you know, that really was a turning point for us in our marriage and in my husband's life. I mean, truly, it is amazing when God allows us, interrupts our plans to be selfish, you know. I love that. So let's start with talking scripture if we can. What's the Lord been speaking to you about these days?
You know, I love any time we get to talk about scripture. That's where it all goes, isn't it? And, you know, for us right now, in all candor, we're just kind of living some years past trauma that happened a long time ago. And it's just so interesting how that stuff can hit and what it does in different phases. And so a verse that has just been speaking to me that I've totally been hanging on to, and I'm so thankful the Lord opened my eyes to it, is in Joel 2, where it says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army, which I sent to you, which sounds like a kind of depressing, you know, it's like, yes, that's exactly what I don't want. You know, I don't want to be Job. But the thing I love about that verse is the safety in it, because he's safe and he makes a way. And when we look back on these times, as I have through the past years, just allowing them to inform our current time, I always see the way having been made. And sometimes he allows us to see an amazing wonder, because sometimes he parts the waters where you do get to walk across dry ground and you get to see that, which is like, you know, the Red Sea experience. But we've had a lot of Jordan River experiences where the waters are rushing and they are at flood, you know, they're at a flood zone, and it doesn't look like like there's any solid ground, and yet we're to step out in it. And when the nation of Israel did that on the way to Jericho, the water stopped and the ground was hard, and we've lived that. And so I just have been resting in the safety of the fact that he is Lord over the seen and the unseen, and that his name is Jehovah Sabaoth. And it's so powerful. And it has given us so much strength on days that are especially intense and hard, and to be able to live fully the day that we have, which has been a big part of what these crazy practices that came in this book actually literally play out for us even today. And it's just so powerful.
Thank you for sharing that. You know, some have wondered, has God pulled his hand back from our nation, just because there are so many, there's not only you see the culture implosion in so many ways, but, you know, so many Christians are walking through really, really hard times right now. Mm-hmm. And yet what's absolutely amazing is his promises are still true. And as I mentioned at the open of the show, he's still at work in the nooks and crannies of life. Mm-hmm. And he has promised not to forsake us. So yes, these things are difficult for so many, but as we trust him and look to him, he still delivers on his word, doesn't he?
Oh, he can't not. It would be counter to his character. And that's like amazing. And his love is steadfast, which means it never is stopping. There's nothing that you can do that will change his love. And I love that. And I mean, it's like, what, can we stop doing this? I don't think so. Because then you go, like for me, I sit there and go, and I'm so thankful for the words, it is finished. I really live in that. It's sort of like, this is finished. It doesn't have anything on me. Yes, we're living it right now, but it doesn't change the Lord's victory over it. I'm choosing to live in the victory. And then you breathe. And that's where things like thankfulness come forward, because it helps you actually breathe, because it takes your eyes off the moment that can steal and puts them on the perspective that's actually what's real. Even though we can't see it, it's like the unseen is actually what's real. And he never said, do it in your own power. It's like, come to me, I'll do it for you. I see it all, I know it all, I am the way. And it's just, it's like, yes, 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 thank you. And the experiencing of that, it's good.
Who needed to hear what Kay had to say today? Somebody's got to text me an amen. We haven't even dug into her book yet. But the idea of living in the victory, of looking at your mountain, looking at your crisis and saying, all right, I'm living in it, but it is finished. This thing is not going to have the final say, will not have power over me. I needed to hear that today. I'm thinking somebody else needed to hear it today, too. So I need somebody. Text me an amen. All right. The Peace Project, a 30-day experiment, practicing thankfulness, kindness, and mercy. You make me laugh. You're so funny. I've ridden in her minivan with her. So I just want you to know the book feels like a ride in her minivan. But before we go to our first break, you at least got to tell the story of the truck and kind of how this message was born.
Yeah, how it started with a bad attitude because I'm there. Because it did. It started when I went into their fridge and there was no milk. There were cartons in our refrigerator, but no milk in them. And I don't understand that. Like cereal boxes with no cereal. It's such a mystery. Just throw it away. So I walked out of the door kind of with a bad attitude because I needed to be able to serve some women that were coming to our house. Backed out the drive. Was met with road rage, which is something. You know, road rage for sure is something, but so is road rage. And this guy, this big black pickup truck, was barreling down on me, and I couldn't do anything but back up. And I was like, really? And that was, again, my heart was not happy. And as I backed up, I looked up, and I really have learned that that's one of the keys, that, like, is in these unsettled times or whatever's going on, look up. Like, it's a gift. And as I did, I saw the sun coming through the clouds. Like, it wasn't even like a spectacular sunrise, but it was enough. And in that moment, I just breathed looking up, and I was sort of like, what am I doing with this crummy attitude? I'm in a car. It's air conditioned. I'm in Texas in the summer. I mean, going to a store with refrigerated items. And at that point, I was like, okay, I'm happy to back up because I had been refreshed a tiniest bit by thankfulness. And as I backed up, which was an act of kindness, and I legitimately did it. Like, I really, you know, I was going to have to do it anyway. But at this point, my heart was actually involved in it. And as the car drove by, I looked in the car, and there was a human being driving it. And my heart went to another place. Rather than being angry, it went to a place of compassion, going, I have no idea what's going on in that person's life. You know, they could be racing to the hospital. They could be like your husband, seeing this person on the side of the road, like not being able to breathe. I mean, it's like, do we look beyond the moment to actually see the human beings, which is what happened to me in that moment. And I had compassion, and I wasn't trying to be over spiritual. I prayed for the guy. And then I left to the grocery store, and I felt so great, Susie, that when the ladies came to my house, I had to tell them about it, kind of going, the weirdest thing happened this morning. I still physically feel amazing from this. Here's what happened. And as we unpacked it, we realized that the things that were involved in that were thankfulness, acts of kindness, and compassion, which is a part of mercy. And it was at that point that it was sort of like, is this something? Do y'all want to play? Because if this is something I do, what would happen if you did this for 30 days? And it kind of went there on what it does for your thoughts. Like, is it something that impacts your neural pathways? Would this help me at the soul level? And I kind of called it the soul 30.
I love it. And the Peace Project, when we come back, we'll talk about how and why thankfulness, kindness, and mercy produce peace in our lives. Don't you love Kay? I love Kay so much. I'm telling you, this book is a ride in her minivan with her. I'm just saying. And the way that you love your kids, the way that you tell some of these stories about your very real, it makes you fall in love as a reader. I fall in love with your kids as I'm reading the stories you tell, because you invited them into this Peace Project, and they entered in. All right. Talking to Kay Wills-Wyma. You can text the word book if you want in on the draw. I've got a bunch of amens. I love our listeners, Kay. One person said, boy, I needed this word today. What I needed today. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. Back in a minute. Lord, maybe you're walking through life right now. You're feeling distressed. Maybe you're weary. You don't see yourself as a warrior. You're weary. Maybe you're discouraged, maybe you're angry and frustrated. Well, you know what? The Prince of Peace can change all of that. And God invites us to partner with him really to help bring his kingdom to earth in the most profound ways. I'm talking to my friend Kay Wilsweima. She's got a new book out titled The Peace Project, a 30-day experiment practicing thankfulness, kindness, or mercy. I mean, what if you engaged in 30 days? It really will change your physiology. It does change your neural pathways. We'll talk about in a little bit. But your soul restores your soul, renews your perspective to apply yourself to gratitude, to kindness, to mercy. We're going to unpack each of these. And let's do this, Kay. Let's talk kind of in short. Give me a short synopsis of each of these. Why these three? Why you pulled these three together? And then we'll dig in one by one and kind of really unpack them. So first of all, thankfulness, kindness, mercy. What made you pull those three together?
Well, I love that you asked that because somebody said to me, they were like, wow, that was brilliant. Thankfulness, kindness, and then mercy. And I was sort of like, I didn't come up with it. Like, I didn't. And I love that. Like, it was forced on me during my rotten attitude. I mean, I really think it was a gift from the Lord because it was thankfulness that started it, which is so powerful because, you know, thankfulness is actually being able to see and call out the things that you have rather than focusing on the things that you don't, and which sounds so simple. And I think we're kind of tired of thankfulness, too, because it seems like it's boring. Well, let me tell you something. It is so powerful. It primes the pump to be able to get our hearts in the right place, and we can do it. And if you do it, even in the moments of unsettledness, it's so powerful to find something to be grateful for, even in the unsettledness, because it's hard to be stressed about something when you're grateful for it. And so that started just by that simple looking up. Like, it was like, I looked up, it brought this moment of like, why am I crabby? Do I actually have good things going on? Let me focus on that, even though it was an unsettling moment. And then it invited into it action, which is what I think is the PowerPoint. Like, these are all superpowers in and of themselves. And the thing about kindness is that it takes it from just a thought to the action. You're actually making a movement and doing something. And if you can do an altruistic, you know, act of kindness, it really lights parts of your brain that cannot be lit in any other way, which I know you love the neuroscience of all of this. And so that's one thing that would be so fun to just discuss. And then the mercy comes on, which is where you get to this soul, this deep soul aspect, because all the things that are involved in mercy, compassion, grace, forgiveness, patience, you know, those aren't things that are ours. Like, we really do have to go to a source that's outside of ourselves for that, which is why I think these things are so powerful, because they basically make up the greatest commandment. You know, thankfulness, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then loving others as yourself, which isn't a narcissistic thing. It's actually care for yourself because you are so loved. It's sort of like the disciple, you know, John would describe himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. Well, he's actually stating out loud, Jesus loves him, which is why he's okay. And it's sort of like, dare we go to these places and act on them? And I think that's why it's so powerful, because when you put these three things together, you're actually hitting the greatest commandment. And that's, you know, we could be turned off by the word commandment because it's like, well, you're not going to tell me what to do, you know, which is when I live in a house of teenagers, especially with me as the teenager, because apparently I go there quick. But it's not something done to you. It's for us. It's like, do these things because you want to know where life is. It's there. And the peace that you get is shalom. It isn't peace out or, you know, like, hey, peace to you. This is like the shalom is the peace of the Lord, which is completeness and wholeness, the coming together of opposites. It's the hello and the goodbye put together, and it's where the light informs the dark. And I think that's why I can unequivocally say to you, as you can too, so you do these things, like, this is what it's about because of the one who says, do these things, because it's so great.
Well, I'm looking at this list of thankfulness, kindness, mercy, okay, and I'm thinking the world really has formed its own neural pathways. The culture, you know, comprised of lots of people. Rather than thankfulness, it's entitlement. You know, rather than kindness, it's cruelty. Rather than mercy, it's judgment. And how, you know, souls are shriveling in a culture that defaults too, ingratitude and entitlement and cruelty and judgment. We're seeing how that works. And there needs to be a revolt, and it should start with the people of God. And yet, I think it was Paul who said something to the effect of death to me means life for you. Like dying to mm-hmm. myself means life for you, but it also brings resurrection power in my own life. And like for you, you're in that car, the guy was rude and you could have given him the stink eye because he made your day inconvenient. But to pause and go, I'm going to die to my flesh. I'm going to starve my flesh so my spirit can thrive. It changed the trajectory of your day. And now you've got a whole project out of it. But I just think about something was born there,
It was. And what I love even more is that I did have a stink eye. I'm just going to tell you, I was not in this kind, benevolent mood. I was crabby. And to me, the tenderness and the beauty and the kindness of the Lord to go, hey, I have something for you here. And for that gentle wake up. And I do love the word of the Lord, and I know you do too. And I love spending time in it. And so maybe my heart was primed to be able to go to these places and not have to fight to get there. Maybe it's part of the hard stuff that we've been living that has us on our knees and resting day by day in his absolute perfect provision. I don't know, except that I know that he has these gifts for every one of us all day, every day. It is the gift of him. And I feel so privileged to have been able to bump up against this and to be able to write about it, just kind of like, here's what we experienced. And my kids were nice to join in. God bless them. I don't know why they say yes to anything that I do anymore. And I had friends that did it too. And that's where it's like, I don't know anyone that isn't touched by this. I got a text the other day from a mom who had sent her kids, went to grandparent camp. And she had taken the Peace Project with her, and one of her daughters took it out of the car and kept it. And when she got home from the trip with her husband, there was sidewalk chalk on her parents' sidewalk, like on her driveway, that said, "Got hope," and it said, "Read the Peace Project," from a 12-year-old. And I'm sort of like, that's not me. That is so not me. It's the Lord's truth that is kind. It's like, here's the Lord's truth. Here's how we walk through it. Come join us, because this is a great ride.
And we just got about a minute and a half before our hard break at the bottom, but I got to know, what made you choose to make it a 30-day endeavor?
Because I need to have a challenge. So I love that. Because I think it's sort of a funny quip on the whole 30, like the soul 30 versus the whole 30, because I'm a big baby and I couldn't even do the whole 30 if you made me. And so I was like, this I can do. Let's do this for people that want some soul, like some good, just a feast for your soul, because it is not a fast. It is a feast.
Well, we don't come upon these things just instinctively. We do have the spirit of the living God in us, but our flesh, there is a tension within us. And I think it's so easy to default to what our flesh wants, to comfort, to, like I said, quick judgments and those kinds of things, especially since the current of culture is moving that way. So to apply ourselves each day to kindness, to thankfulness, to mercy, is really life-changing. What I wrote when I endorsed this book is, this is not a fluff topic. This, to me, is its own form of spiritual warfare, because you really are going, I'm going to live differently than the rest of the world, but it's going to bring joy to my heart, peace to my soul, and blessing to people around me. And who doesn't need that? We're going to pause here, but really, who doesn't need that? If you've got questions, comments for Kay, text those in. Otherwise, if you want in on the drawing, a separate text needs to come in at text the word book to 877-933-2484. Again, Kay's book is titled The Peace Project, a 30-day experiment practicing thankfulness, kindness, and mercy. And when we come back, we're going to take each of these and unpack them on a deeper level. You can do this. I can do this. So let's do it. We'll be back in a minute. Suppose would change in your heart and in your soul and your perspective in your home and even in your community if you applied yourself for the next 30 days to be super grateful every day, to be kind and really engage in some acts of kindness you know, just intentional acts of kindness, and to extend mercy where maybe you're tempted to extend judgment. What would happen around you, in you, and through you? Well, I'm talking to my friend Kay Wills-Wyma. I love this girl, and I endorsed this book. I loved it so much. Her book is titled The Peace Project, a 30-day experiment in practicing thankfulness, kindness, and mercy. We've got a handful of copies to give away. I love giving away books like this because it makes the world a better place. So if you want in on the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. So before we unpack these three on a kind of a bigger level, Kate, tell me about the physiological implications of this, because, you know, I'm a brain science nerd, not a doctor, but I play one on radio. So let's talk.
Well, I feel like you would be so much better at going into the details, but I do know that we, you know, our neural pathways are driven by where our thoughts really spend the most time. And that's where I sat at the beginning of this going, if that's the case, what if we could change the neural pathways so that our superhighway, the highest traveled pathways, are ones that are more positive? Which when you do, when you think about these things, just gratitude, the reason why there's so many gratitude journals is because it does. It fires, it's working in your brain physiologically when you are ticking through things for which to be thankful for. You have endorphins going and you have the serotonin, and the same with kindness. They've done the research and studied it. And when you add action to your thought, you're making the connection even stronger. And that's what I think is so powerful. And I've sat with women who have just even done the gratitude and the kindness. And after a couple of weeks, they genuinely feel better because their thoughts are going quicker to that than they are going to places of fear or worry or anxiety or dark places where our thoughts tend to go. But Susie, I know you know so much more.
No. So great. Well, we have Dr. Troy on once a month, and we talk a lot about this stuff. But the idea of, you know, your brain really only has two motivational fuels. So it's you're either in fear or you're in love. So if you're operating in fear, and fear can manifest in judgment, criticism, cynicism, because you're afraid, your cells actually shut down. And so when you're eating healthy food, you're not really getting the benefit very much of that. I mean, it really affects you on such a cellular level that when you're operating in love and extending mercy and kindness as the heart of God is beating in your chest, your whole health changes. So I love that you're making a case for this. I want to read this from your book. You said, well-worn, life-stealing paths like fear, anxiety, frustration, insecurity, and the like can be replaced by thoughts centered on life-giving principles like thankfulness, kindness, and mercy when they dominate internal messaging. When further solidified by actions, new highly traveled neural pathways take over as the superhighway for our thoughts to more easily travel. It made me think when I read that, Kay, that scripture says you destroy yourself when you're cruel, but your own soul is nourished when you are kind. I mean, scripture talks about it, doesn't it?
Yes, and he keeps in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast in him, which is where you're going. It's like, well, I'm not going to go to the negative. And, you know, we have those negative things since we were little kids. And it's sort of like, well, if I can change that, why not? And that's where I really wanted to go with the Soul 30, because I was like, why not do this for our thoughts? If we do it for our bodies for health reasons physically, our minds are equally as physical. Why don't we spend more time on this? And it's real. And it's yet another time when scripture proves, you know, science proves scripture, because it's real and it's true. And you're created for this.
Amen. Amen. All right. So thankfulness. Let's dig into that one a little bit deeper. What do you say? What have you learned and how has it impacted your own life and your kids' lives? I'd love to know.
Oh, gosh, Susie. I mean, you know, I've told you recently that we've got some significant, intense stuff going on. And when I'm having trouble breathing and the unsettled set of, you know, is coming on, I legitimately will sit there again. Often I have a bad attitude and I'm like, I'm not doing this, but I'll sit there and go, no, go, what can you be grateful for in this situation? Just yesterday, just today, I've had the opportunity to engage with a relationship that was very hurtful. And instead of going towards these negative thoughts and shutting down and pulling away and going to isolation, I fought for gratitude just to start it, because I know that gratitude primes the pump. When I feel like I can't do anything else, I know that I can find something to be grateful for. And even if I can't, I can ask the Lord, please show me something. But just right there, having the ability to ask the Lord, oh my gosh, can we just for a second be grateful that we can pray to our Father and that he hears us? I mean, there's so much. And once you start, good luck stopping. I mean, it just becomes a sea of gratitude. So go there first, and it really will help you feel better in the moment to be able to do an action point.
You know, I feel like the stories you tell with your kids, first of all, you have names for them, which is so adorable to me. So so they're sort of incognito, but you tell stories, they read like novels. I mean, truly, you're a really good storyteller. But,
you
know, one of them getting in the car going, I'm not grateful for anything. And then how they wrestle through, because that's honest stuff with our kids. But then they wrestle through, then they get in the car after school, and then they tell you something for which they're grateful. I mean, that in itself is just a miracle, isn't it?
Yeah, and that was so sweet because it's like, why not invite these people that are right next to you into what you're doing in your own life? And I did. I loved the privilege of being able to walk with that kid and kept a gratitude, kept a journal. I made for each one of them and for myself, too, a little journal that had TKM, thankfulness, kindness, mercy. And I asked them to find something that was different to be grateful for each day. Of course, that doesn't matter at all. You could be grateful for the same thing. And that was an ugly story, you know, even of the gratitude as he got in, because I had had a long day and blasted at him, I'll tell you what you can be grateful for, you know, and it scared him and made him sad. And there you go, this human relationship. It gave us both the opportunity, me to say, I am so sorry, me to meet him where he was, the gentleness of this child to be able to meet me where I am, because we are both human beings, you know, we just are, and we're created for together. I just don't think we're created to be apart, and then to be able to live in just the reality of a regular day and to go to these places to where we can find things to be grateful for, even if we can't do it by ourselves. And I tell you, to hear the things that a kid is grateful for, it's so sweet, and it primes the pump for them too, to be able to get outside of themselves, which, can we say that there is not a greater gift than to have a teenager be able to not be consumed with and by themselves? You know, that is the gift. And be able to actually consider the people next to him, it's so deep. And it's not in a way where there's a victim attitude. Like, that's one thing about mercy that I think is really important. Like, the kindness and the mercy, you really have to be brave to enter into these waters. And not in a way where you're letting someone walk over you, because that is not what the Lord has for us, and it really isn't beneficial to us at all. It's in a way where we're actually receiving our significance that has been settled by him for eternity and living it out. And I think that's has been a very powerful thing for my kids too. And they're all ages, and they have all different experiences, and it has legitimately, genuinely helped them. And that's pretty amazing to hear your kids speak back about that.
Just wonderful. And you say gratitude isn't just it's not like an easy place to start. It's so important because it primes the pump for kindness and mercy to flow.
Yep.
So let's
say
a word about kindness. What is kindness? What isn't kindness?
Well, kindness, you know, I do think, you know, just talking again about the bravery, because you are setting yourself up. Like, when you reach out to be kind to somebody, they may or may not receive it. And so kindness, I love a Mark Twain quote where he says, kindness is the language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see, because it actually is a giving. It's seeing the person. One of the most beautiful things about kindness is that it actually helps them feel seen and known and as if they have worth. And kindness can be the tiniest little thing. It doesn't have to be ginormous. It tends to be free. Like, listening is one of the most powerful acts of kindness, because listening to hear, to actually hear, it can be something as small, and we are always in the car, but as letting someone go before you in traffic. One of my girls recently, there was someone trying to get over a couple of lanes, and she was like, we should let that guy over. And, you know, traffic is killing people these days because we're back in it. We know what it is, but it feels so weird, you know? And so there's so much honking and rudeness going on in the car these days. And so we stopped and let that person go ahead. Okay, so what happens in that tiny experience right there? She said it, that my daughter said, if someone had done that for me, this is what I would have felt. I would have felt seen and as if I had worth. And I was like, in my mind, I was like, just really someone go ahead? And then I was like, yes. Anytime you do these tiny acts of kindness or large acts of kindness, it speaks to the depth of our soul and these issues that are really core human needs, to be seen, to be known, to belong, and that an act of kindness can have an impact on that, it's so significant. And so it's a powerful thing to do today, wherever you are.
Amen. I'm going to read from your book again. You said, not only is practicing kindness worth a try, but daily exercise can form a habit and become second nature. This healthy practice was heralded by Christ as part of the greatest commandments. He didn't tout it as another task to do in order to live up to expectations or as a shaming indictment, but as an on-ramp to joy and peace. Because again, you nourish your own soul when you're kind. We do this as unto Christ, because he said, you give a cup of cold water in my name, I make note of it. So there's something that's so powerful about saying, you know, I'm not just checking this off my list. I'm not just doing a good Christian duty. I want God to breathe in and through me. I want to see people. I want to do what he would do if he were walking in my shoes. And suddenly you enter into the supernatural adventure of life with God, don't you?
Yes. And that's what it's like. It's so easy to make these like commandments or these beautiful encouragements as something like, you have to do this. Well, actually, it really is for you, because the one that's feeling great is you. I mean, that's the part that floors me. I don't think we've ever walked away. Even when somebody, one time I was here and there was a homeless person that was walking and they just looked so hungry. I had Chick-fil-A. I picked up Chick-fil-A and I was like, you know what? I can go through Chick-fil-A again. And I stopped and rolled down the window and handed them my, you know, the lunch that I'd gotten and the drink. And this guy yelled at me. He was like, I'm not taking your Chick-fil-A. And I was like, I'm so sorry. But you know what? Even in that moment, because I thought, yeah, that's one of those kindness opportunities that really wasn't received. But even in that, the compassion to be able to go and say, something has hit that human being hard, for him to be able to yell in rejection, oh my gosh, the hurt has to be so deep. It instantly like warmed over my soul with compassion. And the thing that is so powerful about it is that it allows us to be compassionate to ourselves, which I think might be the hardest thing for us to do, to give ourselves grace and to be able to meet ourselves in places where we are hurt. And I'm not sure if that isn't one of the most powerful aspects of this, of these practices, is it allows us to go into our deep places and to be able to receive the compassion of Christ, to be able to receive the steadfast love, to be able to allow it to enter these places where we have hurt, where we may not even know we have hurt.
Yeah, you know, you can't impart what you don't possess. And you think some of the most cruel people, some of the most judgmental, cynical, are so deeply hurting on the inside. I just had lunch with a friend the other day, and she said the best thing. I was wearing this kind of little overshirt that went down to my knees with my jeans and my sandals or whatever. And so I had like a tank underneath it. And she said, you know, she said, recently I was at church and a woman came in with a shirt like that, but no pants, just had her undies on underneath. And she said, I could, you know, it has slid up the side. So she's got her high heel shoes and you could see everything. And she said, my instinct was to absolutely judge her, going, girl, what are you doing wearing that to church? And then she said, instantly she was brought back to some of her own trauma. And she thought, I can't possibly know what would compel a young woman to wear something like that to church. And then she said, I was suddenly heartbroken. I wanted to wrap my arms around her. And she goes, God nudged me. And then I wrestled for a redemptive perspective. And she said, everything changed. And I just thought, man, if we could be slower with the snap judgments and quicker to regard people from a divine point of view, what would change? I think that's so good. All right, hon, when we come back, we're going to talk mercy. Because, you know, it may not be what you all think it is, but what does it mean to actively apply mercy, extend mercy? Scripture says mercy triumphs over judgment. What might that look like? I would love to know. And maybe you've been in a position where you were kind, where you extended mercy. I would love to know about it. You can stay anonymous, but it's just good. Like I always say, one testimony begets another. So you can text me, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
Darkness, please.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to my friend Kay Wills-Wima, who's written an incredible book, and it's a great challenge. It's called The Peace Project, a 30-day experiment practicing thankfulness, kindness, and mercy. Before the break, I asked anybody to send in just a note about maybe an act of kindness or when God asked them to extend mercy. And this dear listener, Kathy, says, I make it a habit to send encouraging notes to women who have their mugshots in the newspaper. I tell them how very precious and loved they are by Jesus. That is amazing. And Kathy, I've been on the receiving end. Thank the Lord I've not had my mugshot in the paper, but I've been on the receiving end of your kind notes. You are an encourager. Oh, wow, you are. But what a great idea to do that. Thank you so much for that. So we've been talking about thankfulness and just the power of gratitude, of just changing our attitude and perspective, of kindness, of actively extending kindness. And now let's talk mercy. Tell me what you mean by mercy.
Well, I do think mercy is the hard one. So, and honestly, Susie, when I started, I was sitting there going, I don't know what mercy is. Like, I don't know if I've really seen a lot about what practicing mercy looks like. So the first place I went, of course, was to the dictionary. And the definition of mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. And I added in even ourselves. And because I think we're hard on ourselves. And so that's kind of where we started. And I quickly found as I started looking, one of my favorite definitions was by a Jesuit priest who his name is James Keenan. And he said that the definition of mercy is the willingness to enter into the chaos of another. And I just, I've loved that phrase for so many reasons, because it is chaos. And I often think about the wake that's behind me and the wakes that we are in of other people, because it's chaos. And it does, it's the stuff that hurts us. And I think the key phrase in that, though, is the willingness, because willingness is not a victim status. I'm going into it. I'm choosing to go into it. It's sort of like when that car ran up, came up upon me, and it was a situation I was forced into. And I was a victim in that, but it instantly changed from victim status when thankfulness entered in the picture. And when my mind went towards really for all intents and purposes, whose I am, the great thing about mercy is that it allows us to actually live out what the Lord has spoken over you and over me, and that is our identity that He has determined, and our worth that He has declared, that you are a masterpiece, that you are known and you are seen and you are loved and that you are a treasure. He calls us, one of the names He calls us is sought after with a capital S and a capital A. And it's sort of like, it's very hard stuff to believe, but when we engage with mercy, we're actually handing our trust over to these things, because mercy tends to enter into those deepest places of our soul where we try to, protect ourselves. And it is, it's compassion. It's seeing beyond the moment to actually be able to see the worth of the human being and the dignity of the human being that is next to you. So that when that guy yelled at me when I tried to hand him the Chick-fil-A, I could have felt rejection and I could have reeled back, but I didn't, because of why I was doing it. I wasn't doing it in my own power. I genuinely was doing it as seeing him as a human being, which took it to that spiritual level that has such a richness to it. And so mercy's hard, because it tends to get us in places where we long to be set free, but we don't even realize we're being held prisoner.
Again, mercy triumphs over judgment. You think judgment's just easier. It's our default instinctive response. And I even think of the story I told before the break of my friend who wrestled for a redemptive perspective. She wanted to go to judgment until she remembered mercy and the mercy that had been extended to her by God's grace. And isn't it just amazing, Kay? We are hard on ourselves, but the other times we're too easy on ourselves, where we, judge others on their weakness and judge out of our strength and give ourselves a pass so often. And it's like two sides of a coin. We sometimes give ourselves a pass where we could know God's mercy, and other times we condemn ourselves where we could know His mercy. And this was super interesting to me. You said mercy is not a once and done thing. In fact, right. the same mercy opportunities tend to keep arising, which invite a yep. peek behind the curtain to see our need to address old wounds, frustrations, stubborn bitterness, and other things we've packed away in hopes yeah. of avoidance. I want you to say more about that because, you know, if there's somebody listening and they're prickly and they're quick to judge, quick to pull the trigger, you're saying there might be a wound that's unresolved that's kind of in the basement yeah. that they might want to look at.
It sure seems like that. That's a hard thing to go to, though. And it kind of goes back to the verse we started with about the Lord saying, I've sent my army and the safety that's in that, you know, because it's like God is safe. You can go to the places that are safe and you can trust the Lord. And so one of the things and the questions that's so powerful to ask in those moments when the unsettledness is getting you, or when I'm going to this judgment place, or when I'm lashing out in anger, or when I want to go to isolation because I don't want to deal with anybody anymore, to be able to ask the question, why? Like, why? What is it in this situation that's going on? Why am I instantly reacting this way? And, you know, probably 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, fear is at the core of that, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of not being seen. I'm afraid of being discarded. I'm afraid of being alone. You know, whatever it is. And then go to the questions of why even that? What's happened? Why would I feel that way? We do share a lot of the stories in the book. And I even had one that I shared just off of a text that someone had sent me a text. And it shouldn't have set me off the way that it did, as far as like, I don't want to talk to her anymore. Because what had happened is we had had a conversation and she had gone to her husband and shared all of it. And I was like, yep, that's exactly what I don't like. I don't like people talking about me behind my back. Like, I really don't. And so it made, she really meant nothing by it, you know, but for whatever reason, it triggered something in me. And the safety place to go is from, you know, to be able to hit her with mercy. She wasn't trying to do anything. She was genuinely trying to, at least as far as I know, trying to just help me, you know, but to go even to have a safe friend for me to go to, because I knew if it was hitting me hard, I needed someone around me, and go ask the questions, why would that have set me off? And to be able to say, I don't like that. And then be able to go to say, okay, here's why I don't like that. And hit these places from long times ago where that did occur, and the pain and the hurt that came with it. And what comes on the other side of that, being able to unearth these things, is freedom. And it is for freedom that he has set us free. And he uses these beautiful tools that are his, that are him. When I feel heavy and I feel like I can't do it and I don't want to do it, I instantly am like, well, I must be feeling that way because I'm trying to do it in my own power. Please, Lord, come in and step in. May it be your power. And here comes the golden ticket, is that you get to experience him. And I'm sort of like, is this what it's all about? That we don't get to see you because we get to experience you? And it's like, all right, sign me up. And then I'm like, no, oh, but don't sign me up. But yes, please sign me up, you know?
Oh, boy. I love my blanket. I hate my blanket. I know that. I know that tension so well. You know, we just got a couple minutes left. This has been just so fantastic. But you talk about in the book, when we talk about, you know, extending kindness and mercy, that sometimes it needs to be extended to ourselves. We're our own worst enemy. And I'd love for you to speak to the person today for which maybe they are their own worst enemy, and they really don't. They're not kind to themselves. No. What do you say?
Those messages, please, these are great messages to just start very slowly changing, because it's really hard to just dive in on the deep end. But as an example, which I'm guessing for any of us, hopefully, I don't know, maybe during the COVID, there were, you know, we didn't really get out as much. And I might have eaten a lot of chips with all these children around and French fries. And so, Susie, when I went to put on something I've normally worn this time of year, it didn't quite fit. And I sat there and I could beat myself up, whatever is that, because that could be one of my messages that has gone through my head since I was a little, body image or whatever it is. And it's like, no, in that moment, stop that message and give yourself grace, to where I could say, you know what, maybe I have eaten a few too many fries or whatever. And then just stop. Like, stop eating the fries and give yourself grace and compassion to be able to slowly get back on the road that you want to be on, but being careful to be able to say, it has been hard. It has been long. These are things that have been happening. and to be able to go in, have the Lord's love, his steadfast provision, his absolute redemption, to be able to speak into these things so we can give ourselves grace in the way that we can live and quit beating ourselves up, because those are some roads that need to be the farm roads that we never, ever really get on.
Indeed. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, Kay, you got to come back. This is just such a precious, timely conversation. It was a breath of fresh air for so many. I just love you, my friend. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, Susie, thank you so much.
I appreciate your ministry so very much. Kay Wills-Wyma, and again, her book is titled The Peace Project. Hey, we'll leave that drawing open for a little bit longer, and our podcast listeners will get a couple copies to you as well. So just text the word book to 877-933-2484. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.